I believe the Caboolture Council has just released a new pamphlet or something. Can you tell me a bit about that?
They did a letterbox drop to every letterbox in the Caboolture. It's an 8-colour brochure, glossy brochure, telling us how wonderful Sterritech is. And it's produced by the Caboolture Council.
Right, so
we ratepayers are paying for it, aren't we?
Yeah, this sounds like a very deliberate propaganda strategy from the council.
It certainly is. The council has also just recently had their first public consultation meeting with selected people from the public. Selected people meaning nobody who opposes it. Not one of the groups who opposes it was invited. And the people who were invited were asked to give a list of questions that they had to ask. The Narangbar Community Progress Association put in their list of questions, but not one question was brought up at the meeting.
Right, so how was the selection process done? It was just all by the council themselves? Or?
Yeah, the council did it. There was school headmasters, PNC committees, progress associations, councillors, Sterritech, of course. George West was there, dripping in his gold.
Sounds like the council is explicitly stating its position on the plan, whereas they were a bit more vague about it before.
Oh no, they played to be vague, yes. They've never been vague about it at all. They want it, and it's going to create 8 jobs. Probably not for locals, but 8 jobs. So, you know, why the council would want something as disastrous as this in their area. I think Joy Leishman will go down as the mayor who broke the council, because I can see that the public, if there's an accident here, are going to have to sue the council for compensation, because insurance won't cover them.
Yeah, right. So, why do you think the council is so keen on this this project when clearly the majority of the population is against it here in Caboolture?
Well, I have been told that Sterritech have made very large donations to different communities associations in the Caboolture. So I presume that it's all part of that. I don't know. I can only presume. I can only imagine. The mind boggles at the thought of what has gone on behind closed doors.
Now, I heard there was a bit of a movement among ratepayers here to stop paying rates to the Caboolture Council. Do you know how that has gone?
Our legal advice was that we couldn't do it, but we are watching a group in New South Wales who have actually done that, and it's now in the Supreme Court. We're waiting to see what the outcome of that is. Watch out, Caboolture, if they win.
Okay, I guess just more generally on the general protest movement, how do you think things have been going the last few months?
Look, I'm very happy with what's happening. The frame of the building may be up, but I don't see that as the end for us. This will go on. I honestly believe in my own heart that we're all in for a joyful Christmas, that by Christmas time we will have this plant beaten. And if we don't have it beaten, maybe we will have a new government coming in or some such thing who will beat it for us then. I just think that, no, we're on the right road and we will have success. Our motto is we will win.
And how do you think the plant will be stopped? How would you hope it be stopped?
Look, there are a number of legal things happening, federally and state, and I believe, look, I'm not a religious fanatic, but I believe God works in mysterious ways, and I think somewhere along the line the guardian angel will come down and say, bingo, it's gone.
Now, what can other people do to maybe get more involved in helping stop this project?
They can badger Queensland Health and make sure that no licence is issued. They can support the people here at the camp. We desperately need supporters for the camp. It's hard work here, you know. These people, they put in 24 hours a day here, and you get a little bit of camp fever after a few days, so they need a break. And so if people could come down and support them and just talk to them and, you know, introduce them to the outside world a little bit, that would be great. But look, badger Queensland Health, badger your local member, badger your councils. This affects all of Australia.
Okay, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to 4ZZZ. It's 20 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're on Radio Democracy, and the song we heard before was by a local band called Escape from Toytown, Leave It in the Ground. And we're just hearing a little discussion with Fran from the East Narangbar Community Protection...
Action Association.
Action Association, yes. So
that was really interesting to hear that there's lots of community support. In the late 80s, when they brought in a moratorium on food irradiation, Rachel Smith of the Australian Consumer Association said that 93% of people were opposed to it. But when they reintroduced it in 1999, one of the lobbyists, including Stereotech, put a submission in, but there wasn't much public consultation. So why do you think that happened, Robin?
Well, I think that all of these things are definitely well-timed and politically motivated. In 1985, Stereotech attempted to build this plant at Rock Lee, which, for people who don't know, is near where we have our large fruit and vegetable markets in Brisbane. There was a large amount of public opposition, and that plant was stopped, and a moratorium was placed on the irradiation of food in Australia. Not only in Australia, but in Australia and New Zealand. That 10-year moratorium was lifted in 1999, and I do not believe it's a coincidence that in that same year, the Caboolturshire Council gave Stereotech permission to build a plant in Caboolturshire at Narangba Industrial Estate in Deception Bay.
That's not all that happened that year. I believe the Queensland government introduced its certain legislation about safety with radiation. It gave its approval to Stereotech. I believe they invited Stereotech onto site. Is that right?
Well, as far as we can tell, and Stereotech has said under oath in court, Jim Elder, who was then the Minister for State Development, invited Stereotech to Queensland. Now, this is really, really a shambles politically. Jim Elder was sacked for being dishonest. He was given the boot by the Labour Party, but a person such as Jim Elder, who negotiated this company coming to the state, his decisions are still being respected. We don't really understand how it could be that Jim Elder invited them in 1999. They were given permission by the Caboolturshire Council, and this project is still going ahead, especially since after Jim Elder has actually been dismissed, the company was sold land not in 1999, but the land was actually sold to the company only a few months ago in the end of 2001, after the Labour Party had already adopted a platform saying Labour will prohibit the establishment of nuclear irradiation plants in Queensland. We do not understand how it is possible without some sort of very odd political going on that these things could happen.
Well, I've got a quote here from Peter Beattie, who said, apparently, quote, "If the federal government ticked it off, we'll tick it off too."
Well, that's right. These are all very interesting timings as well. Last year what happened, that's in the year 2001, 2 days after the September 11th bombings, or attacks on the World Trade Center, sorry, not bombings, whatever you want to call them, the ANZFA, Australia and New Zealand Food Authority, approved Australia's first ever license for irradiating food. That's 2 days after that. Nobody in Australia was paying attention to food irradiation legislation at that time. We were all looking at what's going on overseas. Within about 2 weeks, the Federal Minister for Environment, Robert Hill, gave approval for Stereotech to build its plant in Narangba. It's actually Deception Bay, Queensland, in the Narangba Industrial Estate. And within a couple of months, the Queensland State Government then sold a piece of land to Stereotech. So when Robert Hill gave his approval, Beattie immediately came out and said, "Oh, if the federal government ticks it off, then we'll tick it off too." Well, that's just not acceptable. The Queensland Labour Party government does not have to just stand by and accept any decision made by the Liberal pro-nuclear government. Yeah. Labour has an anti-nuclear platform. They should be living up to it. That is unacceptable, and we cannot, it's incomprehensible how this party and this government could be selling a piece of state land, that's the people's land, to a company for a nuclear development when it has a platform opposing it and saying that it's actually the federal government's fault. It's just not true, and it's not on.
And what was the process that that Stereotech had to go through for the federal government? I understand it wasn't exactly stringent.
All right, well, there are a few loopholes, as Kim said before, and one of the loopholes is that in Queensland state government, under the Integrated Planning Act, nuclear is not considered environmentally relevant. That means that anything that's happening in the nuclear, anything, does not have to be assessed by our Minister for Environment. That's a bit of a loophole in state law. But there is a catch, a trigger in nuclear actions, that they do have to be assessed by somebody, and in this case it's being assessed by the federal government. So in the case of Queensland, because our environment minister can't assess nuclear stuff, it's gone straight to the federal government, and that's Robert Hill, at that time the federal minister for the environment. Now, no, it's no secret that the Liberal government is blatantly pro-nuclear. The Liberal government, with Robert Hill and with John Howard, approved the Jabiluka uranium mine. They have approved the Honeymoon in-situ lease uranium mine. They have been pushing for a nuclear waste dump in South Australia, and they have approved a nuclear reactor in Sydney. They are pro-nuclear government. Robert Hill approved the irradiation facility at Stereotech with no environmental impact assessment, no environmental impact statement at all. He approved it on preliminary documents, which is basically documents given to him by the company. So we also think this is unacceptable. There should be an inquiry about this. How can a nuclear facility be approved with absolutely no environmental impact study when it's sitting adjacent to an endangered paper bark wetlands that feeds into Moreton Bay?
Do you know if there's any legal challenges to what's going on? I know that somebody failed in the Land and Environment Court to challenge the Caboolture Council over their zoning.
Yes, it's unfortunate. One of the fait accompli decisions that was made in 1999 when the government, the Caboolture, approved the plant was that they would approve the plant on the condition that the area that it was going to be in was rezoned later on in the year. Now, I don't even know how that can possibly be so, but they did. They approved it just in case the area got rezoned, and surprise, surprise, the area got rezoned to be a noxious, offensive, and hazardous industries area. So at that time, local community residents were very upset about this. They did think that was underhanded, and they took it to the Planning and Environment Court, and unfortunately, they lost. They did not see a way that they could win an appeal, so they did not carry through with the appeal. There are apparently ways of challenging the Federal Minister for the Environment's decision. We had asked for a statement of reasons. That statement of reasons for his decision were not even handed down till this year, so months and months it took to actually get the statement of reasons. If they had been handed out in time, we could have attempted a legal challenge then, and apparently it is still possible for people to demand that statement of reasons and attempt a legal challenge there. There's numerous aspects that people are still researching and doing legal challenges and legal approaches, but there are still licenses to be granted. The Queensland Health is the final licensing body. Queensland Health can still be lobbied legally to not give that license. So the case isn't over yet. There's still more licenses to be given, so there's still more legal avenues to follow through.
Okay, we're going to go to track now. This is by band Insurge, and this is Lock On.